chuffed to be here today. I really am. I feel really pleased to be in this church and in this LMA. I feel, in one spiritually, can I say, proud. Before I get on to the sermon bit, I just want to say thank you to Mrs. Hannah Bunting, who not only worked her socks off last night, but her and the team worked their socks off today doing an LMA meal. And give her a round of applause, because you know what? So many people would say, no, I'm not doing that. So thank you. On behalf of the clergy, at least, thank you for that. But I also feel that today it's a holy place to be here tonight. I can really sense God at work. And Ruthie, you're Ruthie now. Ruth, just God doing so many wonderful things through you. And you know, I didn't quite realise how strong your accent was until you get to a microphone, but that's awesome. Because I don't know if you know I got an accent, but I just think God is using you and your personality. He's going to keep using you and your personality to build the kingdom of God. And it's really amazing. And I'm going to say this as well. The Lord really spoke to me about John tonight. And you were growing so much as a man of God. You really are. God is really growing and strengthening you. And I have to think back to the couple of months or so that I've been here. And just even that short time, seeing how much you've grown. And you are, bro. So keep solid. You're doing well. Bless you. Oh, should we pray? So Father God, we thank you for the word that we've heard. And we ask now that you would bless us as we hear about what you are saying to us. Amen. So last week, I was a good Anglican boy. If you were here last week, I got out the green book and I read a collect, pray from it. Tonight, I'm not. And the reason I'm not is, if you're in a good Anglican person, is I've chosen a reading from the season of Christmas. And we are not in the season of Christmas. We are in the season of Advent. And how these rules are enforced differ from church, to diocese, to bishop. I had a predecessor in the last parish I was in, for example, who wouldn't let the Christmas tree be lit up until the Christmas service on Christmas Eve, because you had to do Advent before you could do Christmas. And it kind of makes sense. If you don't take Advent seriously, how can you take Christmas seriously? But there's another argument for that. For many people outside of these walls in the community, Advent is really the season of Christmas. And outside, people are doing Christmas, so we should kind of do it a bit here. I have broken the rules a little bit, but it's all right, I'll forgive myself, about the reading tonight, choosing one for Christmas, but it does kind of link a little bit in with Advent. But this time of the year is a funny one. I think it was Charles Dickens, just before he wrote A Christmas Carol, remarked that when it got to December, people were more amiable to each other, more willing to stop in the street and be more charitable. And I've got to be honest, being a vicar, that's something I have noticed in the years that I've been ordained. When it gets to December, random people will stop to you and talk to you. Even on my way to St. Anne's this morning from our house, somebody stopped me, walked up the road with me, and we had a chat. And it was just lovely. But there is one thing that people tend to repeat to us as vicars at this time of the year. And that is really simple. I've heard it about 30 times already in the last week or so. Busy for you, innit? And I feel like a bit, you know, the taxi driver, you say, are you busy tonight because you're trying to make conversation? It's a bit like that for us. Somebody says to us, busy, are you this time of the year? Oh, yeah, I'm really busy. A lot of carol services. Yeah, loads of carol services. Oh, you'd be glad for a break when you yell, I'll be glad for a break. And it's true, it is a busy time of the year. However, vicars aren't the only people who are busy. Youth workers, children workers in church are busy. Church wardens are busy. Outside of the church, people are busy. Teachers in schools are really, really busy. Children in schools are busy. NHS staff are busy. Loads and loads of people are busy. Bless them, the good people from Amazon are busy. It is a busy time of the year. And as far as I can remember, even before being a vicar, it's always been a busy time of the year. Being a student, writing essays, being in work, having to do the social Christmas party things. But even before that, being a kid, having to do the stuff that you do in school. In my primary school, there was always a Christmas play, not an activity, a play to prepare for. And when you got to year six, that was your time to shine. And I remember being in year six, desperately wanting to take the lead role in the school's production of that year, The Pied Piper of Hamelin. And I've got a little bit of a theatrical bent to me, so I was really excited that this was going to be my time. I auditioned, but alas, politics got in the way. A girl got the role of the Pied Piper, and I got slumped with being the lame boy. Not a part I wanted, but a part I got. I remember performing the play, and I remember women cried when I sang. What I didn't realise until years later, that they weren't singing at my voice or crying at my voice, or that I was some kind of gifted Ali Jones type singer, the fact that I was really little for my age, had a really thick mop of black curly hair, and then had a crutch to wit, just made me look so pathetic that their hearts broke when they saw me. But alas, it's a response, and I'll take it. But as much as that was going on in school, other things were going on in church. Being brought up in a church, my mum being not only my primary school teacher, but my Sunday school teacher, meant I had to take part in the nativity every year as well. And church was a bit different to school. In school, they could mix genders up a bit. You could have a girl be in the boy's role in a play and stuff. But in church, boys were Joseph, boys were wise men, boys were shepherds, and girls were Mary or angels. Simple. Grown-ups, women cooked stuff, men carried things. That's the way it was. So I had one of three roles I could be. First year I can remember I was Joseph, and that was a rubbish role, because all I had to do was stand there with my mouth open next to Mary. All the time just stood there, not a word to say. Second year I went up, I was a wise man. I thought this is going to be awesome. But my mum told me I weren't allowed to be a wise man. If I wanted to be a wise man, I wasn't allowed to wear a crown. I really wanted to wear a crown and a gold robe. But instead, she made me wear a dress that she wore to her cousin's wedding earlier in the summer, because it was purple, and gave me a floppy hat. And so I was just miserable, walking down the church aisle, carrying some gift of gold, frankincense, or myrrh, I don't know. But I hated it. The third year, finally, I got to do the role that I really wanted to be, and that was a shepherd. And I wanted to be a shepherd so much, so when I got ordained, I got a shepherd's costume, and I've worn it to pretty much every nativity I can. I wanted this part. I wanted a scraggly little robe and a tea towel on my head, and I wanted to hang out with my mates, who were also shepherds, because you could get away with murder when you got your mates together. Sunday school rehearsals for this nativity were awesome. You could muck about in the corner and do things, play about with your tea towel, and then on the day just come, stand, hand out a sheep or something, job done. That was the role I really wanted. The shepherds, part of the Christmas story. You all know it, you all love it, you've heard it all before. These shepherds, these ordinary men who saw something absolutely spectacular. Try and think of it when I use the word ordinary as well. We're not talking ordinary as in they work 9 to 5, have a job. These blokes are so ordinary, you would forgive them for being impoverished. 2,000 years ago, a shepherd didn't go out in the field on his quad bike and then back in for a cup of tea back out again, hard as that is today. A shepherd lived and breathed with his sheep. A shepherd stayed out with his sheep. A shepherd slept with his sheep, keeping watch over them at night from predators. A shepherd was the lowest of the low when it came to jobs and livelihoods. But it was a shepherd or shepherds who saw this awesome thing happen in the sky to tell them that a baby was being born. An angel appeared, and then a host of angels appeared, glorifying God. Now, let's unpack that word host for a moment. Because even today, having gone through theological education, when I think of an angel, I think about a girl. I think about somebody in robes like I might wear when I'm doing communion. I think about something at the top of a tree. I think about something that's quite pretty, sedate, calm, and lovely. But the host of angel were none of those things. A host of angel is the army of heaven, led by St. Michael, quite apt for the church we're in tonight. And these were the hard nuts of heaven, still are. These are the infantry of heaven. These are the invading force of heaven. And their appearing on earth to those shepherds wasn't just a sign that something was going on, no. This was a symbol of something far greater that was going on. This was a stage in a battle that had been raging since before the creation of the world. This was part of the plan that God had for redemption for the world. This went all the way back to the Garden of Eden and sin coming into the world, where Satan won a hollow victory by allowing this thing to happen. This host of angels appear in the sky was an invading force. This was the first blast of a new battle that has taken place for the world and God's plan for the world. This was the invasion of heaven to say to the world, darkness has had its day. Sin has had its day. Disease, sickness, illness, pain, grief, sorrow, all the things that the devil uses to rob us of what is good, taking us away from the glory of God, all of that has had its day. This was D-Day for the kingdom of God. God sent his angels, his host, his infantry to show the world that it's going to be different. That something is going to change. Something magnificent that no one could imagine really was taking place. And these shepherds saw it. My life, how good it must have been to see them. It's no wonder they were terrified when you think of an army coming towards you. But here they were, seeing this significant, the most significant event in history take place and unfold before their eyes. They saw God's plan coming to pass. And it is more than likely that they knew the significance of it as well. Because even though they were humble, even though they were the lowest of the low, they were still Jews. And Jews knew to go to the synagogue. And Jews knew to learn. And Jews knew that the Messiah would come. They were waiting anxiously for a Messiah to come to redeem Israel, to put things right. And here they were, seeing it. They saw the first shots of the battle that would end up with Jesus dying on the cross and rising again to win the victory for us all. What do you do with that? Do you go back to your sheep? In time, yes. But they had something else that they had to do. They ran to Bethlehem, the city of David, and they saw for their eyes what had taken place, what had gone down, what had happened. And we can't wonder what it might have looked like, but somehow they garbled out to Mary what they had seen. Mary, of all people. They could have gone and told anyone, we've seen angels in the sky, da da da. But they told it to Mary. Mary had already had Gabriel appear to her. Mary, who had already discovered she was pregnant in the most unorthodox way there is imaginable. Mary, who had been called to go to Bethlehem to give birth. They went and told Mary. And what did Mary do? Did she tell him to do one, like many newborn mothers might do? No. Mary, we are told, pondered these things. She was amazed. Mary came to understand more what had happened. Because as much as all she had heard and known and seen so far, clearly there were still some doubts lingering in her. Clearly, she wasn't 100% certain of who this baby was. Clearly, she needed an extra bit of information to tell her. And the shepherds came and they told her, "My life." What does that say to us today? Or how does that relate to Advent? Because as John said, Advent is about the waiting for the Jews, for the coming of Jesus as a baby to be born. For us, it's about waiting for the Lord to come again and seeking for the Lord to come again as well, to make all things new, to finish that war once and for all. But it's also for us desiring to see God move again, to see God move among us, with us, through us, to see a move of God in our communities, in our town, in our nation, indeed the world. This time of waiting, anticipation, and hope. Perhaps, just perhaps, as we enter into this season of Advent and look towards Christmas, this one time of the year when for the next month or so, people ask questions, wonder and ponder things in their own hearts and try and maybe work out, is this right? Have I got it right? Can there really be a God up there in heaven? Maybe God is calling us to be the shepherds who go out and tell. Maybe God is calling us to do what they did. Experience God in this place. Be blessed with the presence of his plans here, and then go out and show what is taking place. Show what is happening. I believe that God is calling us, the ordinary people, to go and tell the other ordinary people the plans that he has. And not to do it up. Not to make it look all nice and cutchy and cuddly and puppy dogs and ice cream, but to say the reality of what this Jesus was born to do. People know the Christmas story quite well. Sometimes we get it wrong factually, quite often actually. But how many people really ponder and link in with what came next? What would happen over the next 33 years? What would happen when Jesus got of age and was in the temple? What would happen when he began his earthly ministry when he was 30? What would happen when the glory descended on him at his baptism? When he cast out demons, healed the sick? What happened when he fed the 5,000? What happened when he turned water into wine? What happened when he spoke with such authority that it moved hearts and mountains? What happened when he entered Jerusalem with great joy? What happened when he was betrayed? What happened when he was beaten? What happened when he was crucified? What happened when he hung upon the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do"? What happened when he rose again to give us the victory over death? It's not easy to look at an image of a baby and think they're going to grow up to see all of that. But our job is to share that with a world that needs to hear it. Because when Jesus was born, the world was a place that felt devoid of hope. Their world, the place of Israel, they'd been battered, they'd been bruised, they were hurt, they were sorrowful. They had been occupied over and over again, and now they were occupied by the Romans. The Romans and their tough way of doing things. Heck, they sent pregnant women off to other cities to register. Hope was low, but in the midst of that lack of hope, this joy, this glory, this invasion took place to remind all people that things are good, that God fundamentally has a plan for absolutely everything. Hope is low today. Ruthie was saying about Advent being a season of hope, and it really is. How many people need hope in their hearts and in their lives? How many young people in this community, students in this community, struggle and think about the food and go, oh, what's happening? How many times do we look at the environment around us and think, oh, what's happening? How many times do we look at our politics and think, oh, what's happening? How many times do we look at terror incidents and pain and suffering all around us and think, oh, what's happening? How many people struggle with their mental health? Anxiety is key, depression, and so on. How many young people are affected today? You know, I'm kicking on for 40 next year. And I can honestly say, I don't think I've lived in a time that feels as sad as the time we live in now, as hopeless as the time we live in now. Going to looking at our students, when I was a student, it was all about getting drunk, doing as little work as possible. Now so many burdens are carried by students for the future. Mental health is a real, real issue on our campus, up the road. How many people are struggling? But this message of hope needs to come out. This message of hope of Christmas and all that it meant for the world needs to be shared. This message of hope and the God who came from heaven, born as a child to grow to a man for the salvation of the world, needs to come. And that is our job. And just linking in with where we are, St. Michael, leader of the host of heaven, that army of heaven, perhaps God is calling us to be an army as well. Not an army of guns and bombs and grenades, but an army of faithfulness, of love and service, an army of the fruit of the Spirit, an army of the gifts of the Spirit, an army that builds up, doesn't knock down, an army of hope, an army that is centered on love and kindness and is willing to share those things, an army that wants to see God's glory fall upon us and lives utterly transformed. Maybe God is calling us to be those things. Because when you translate the word angel, it is quite simply mean messenger. God is calling us to be messengers of his glory. This Advent, this Christmas, and beyond. Do we really want to see God move in Aberystwyth? It's not a rhetorical question, do we? Do we really? Yes. Let us be willing to be that host, willing to share. Let us share his glory, and may we see his kingdom come. Let us pray over all the events that will happen inside here of church. Let us pray for every single person who will enter in. Let us pray for what's happening outside of this place. And may this season be the best we've ever seen here. May the Lord bless us in all that we do. May his hope come. May his glory shine. And may his kingdom be built. Amen.